Support for the New Hampshire News Recap comes from you, our listeners, and from the University of New Hampshire, where the Center of Excellence for Operational Ocean and Great Lakes Mapping, dedicated to advancing ocean exploration and promoting public and private partnerships, is now under construction. Learn more at unh.edu.
It's Morning Edition from NHPR. I'm Rick Ganley, and it's time for the New Hampshire News Recap. This week, the Executive Council approved over $100 million in federal funding to go towards health care access in rural New Hampshire. Here to tell us more are reporters Stephen Porter from the Boston Globe and William Skipworth from the New Hampshire Bulletin. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, let's start with you. What are some of the issues in rural areas with health care that this funding is meant to go towards resolving?
So it's going to be things like expanding telehealth, providing transportation to patients who live far away from their doctors, helping hospitals navigate the surprisingly tricky process of getting health insurance companies to reimburse care. They're also considering projects that might strengthen rural New Hampshire's really strained EMS system in helping hospitals deal with uncompensated care.
Now, what are some of the contracts the state is making with these funds that are going to address all of this?
Yeah. So these early contracts, they actually establish a set of hubs, and those hubs are going to facilitate projects in each respective area of need over the next couple of years.
Stephen, where are these federal funds coming from?
Last summer, Congress passed the One Big Beautiful Bill Act. This was a multifaceted package of legislation that President Trump championed. And one of the provisions in this law created the Rural Health Transformation Program. And that's the program that's investing $50 billion over the next 5 years into rural health care initiatives across the country. And that's where New Hampshire got its initial allocation of $204 million. And state officials are hoping to keep receiving money in each of the next 4 years. One thing that's important to note about this federal program is that it was included in the legislation to offset reductions in funding on Medicaid. There was an analysis by KFF that found federal Medicaid spending in rural areas could decrease by $137 billion nationwide over the course of the next 10 years as a result of the changes made in this legislation.
Okay, so these funds were meant to kind of, you know, take care of that, those cuts to Medicaid that were, you know, in the big beautiful bill related to rural health care. But will that offset those cuts?
Well, a big concern is about the potential rising numbers of people who could lose health insurance as a result of the policy changes. There are some estimates that say tens of thousands of people in New Hampshire could lose Medicaid coverage. And so if they can't find affordable coverage elsewhere, then we could see an increase in lower income patients seeking emergency care without insurance. And that could drive up uncompensated care, which puts a financial strain, especially on rural healthcare providers. So that's kind of the big concern.
Yeah. Well, some counselors initially said these contracts for this funding were rushed and needed further scrutiny. What were their concerns?
I would say one of the biggest concerns was that these contracts were single source. That means there was no competitive bidding process before they were awarded. Now, Go North officials said this was because the federal government had already approved the organizations receiving the contracts during the application phase, and they have some really tight deadlines to meet. However, this is really preliminary funding, and going forward, before any money gets spent on projects, the councils need to give approval again, which is a key factor in getting council's approval this time around.
So when you say that these contracts are going to certain hubs that are being set up across the state, these hubs this money is going to already organizations that already exist, and then they will decide how the money will be dispersed, and the executive council has to come back and review that again?
Exactly.
Okay. Well, I want to touch on another story that you have been covering related to rural health care. North Country Healthcare, which operates hospitals in Berlin, Lancaster, and Colebrook, is being formally reviewed by the state attorney general's office. Why is the state looking into the hospital system there?
Yeah. So a group of patients were concerned about the direction of Weeks Medical Center, which is NCH's hospital in Lancaster. So they got together and started making a stink, essentially, about their concerns with the hospital. And that's caught the attention of officials down here in Concord.
What have you been hearing from patients about their experiences?
Yeah, they're really concerned about the lack of primary care doctors in Lancaster. They're also worried that NCH as a parent organization is exerting too much control on Weeks Medical Center, which they'd prefer to be more independent. And perhaps most notably, they're mad about the hospital system's recent decision to outsource its entire revenue cycle department to an out-of-state company.
And amid all this, a state senator I know has introduced a bill relating to CEO hospital pay in response to these allegations by patients against North Country Healthcare. What's he trying to do with this legislation?
So this legislation is focused on that last concern I mentioned. The bill would impose a temporary salary freeze on all executives at certain hospitals that lay off employees. Senator David Rochefort, who's been extremely plugged into the concerned patient group, really essentially he wants to disincentivize this sort of outsourcing.
Okay, so the bill ended up getting tabled, I know, by the Senate. I wonder if you have any takeaways here on the state of healthcare in northern rural New Hampshire amid all of this.
Right. Yeah, definitely. So North Country Health operates the only hospitals in Coos County. And I think what's going on here is really indicative of a larger nationwide trend. You know, hospitals across the country are consolidating to bigger and bigger systems. All three of the hospitals that make up NCH were once independent, but they merged together to form NCH in 2016. Now, NCH was supposed to be different. It was a merger of equals when it formed, whereas most hospital consolidation comes when a larger hospital system absorbs a smaller hospital. And that can come with a host of problems like increased prices without increases of quality of care. However, a couple years in the system's existence, some people are concerned that maybe North Country Healthcare is kind of just like the rest of them.
Okay. And are they cutting services? Are we losing faculty, staff? What's happening exactly?
So we haven't seen any service cuts, but you know, patients are really concerned that they're struggling to hire primary care doctors. And North Country Health, they've taken steps to mitigate that. They've started a rural health residency program. And so I would say the lack of primary care doctors might be one of the biggest concerns of these patients.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for sharing your reporting about this. You can find Will's reporting, by the way, at NewHampshireBulletin.com. It goes much more in depth on this. And Will, thanks so much for the time.
Thanks for having me.
It's Morning Edition here at NHPR. We're recapping this week's news. If you've got questions about what's happening around the state, we certainly would love to hear from you. You can email us and always inform our reporting. It's easy to do at voices@nhpr.org. Now, the New Hampshire Supreme Court ruled this week that the way police obtained cell phone location data to track down murder suspect Logan Clegg was unconstitutional. Clegg was convicted and sentenced to at least 100 years in prison for allegedly killing a Concord couple in 2022. Let's turn back to Stephen Porter now with the Boston Globe. Stephen, this was a very high-profile case during that time. Can you remind us of what the allegations against Clegg were?
Yeah, so Logan Clegg was convicted of second-degree murder and other charges for fatally shooting Steve and Wendy Reed in 2022 on a hiking trail in Concord. The prosecutors said that Clegg had been living in a tent in a wooded area near the trail when he attacked the couple, then hid their bodies under some brush near the trail. There was never any motive disclosed for the killing. This was an apparently random attack. And notably, it took investigators a while to identify Clegg and track him down. He had apparently used multiple aliases and had a U.S. passport and a Romanian passport card under a different name. And when he bought supplies at Walmart, he paid in cash or used prepaid debit cards. So this complicated the investigation, but detectives managed to figure out in October of 2022, the shooting was in April, and they managed in October of 2022 to identify Clegg as someone they needed to track down and quickly because he had just bought a one-way ticket to Germany.
And how did they know that?
So they were able to track him down using a variety of information, including Mountain Dew cans. He had purchased Mountain Dew at Walmart, and they compared that with transaction records and were able to find where he had ordered shipments of supplements online using the same prepaid debit card. And they were ultimately able to cross-reference his name and obtain information about a warrant out of Utah. Importantly, before this case went to trial, Clegg's defense attorneys filed a motion to suppress all of the evidence that police had gathered as a result of particular cell phone location data searches that they did, that they got the information without a warrant shortly before they tracked him down in Vermont. So investigators went to Verizon Wireless, used an exigent circumstances protocol without a warrant in order to figure out where he was. And they were able to track him down there in Vermont. But the trial court denied Clegg's motion to suppress, In essence, the trial court said police didn't need a warrant in light of the exigent circumstances, or in light of the exigent circumstances they faced. So the evidence was allowed at trial, and Clegg was convicted.
So what's the evidence now is the heart of the argument here at the Supreme Court? The Supreme Court obviously disagreed with this.
Yeah, so the evidence at the heart of this includes some statements that Clegg made to police when they questioned him after tracking him down in Vermont. His attorneys argued that police had pressured or tricked him to keep talking. So that's a big piece of the evidence at issue. And the Supreme Court actually said, no, the police and the prosecutors and the trial court got it wrong because these circumstances were not exigent and police should have gotten a judicial warrant before pinging Clegg's cell phone to identify his location. The state had argued that going through the typical warrant process with Verizon could take days or even weeks, but the Supreme Court said, look, police could have gotten a warrant within a couple of hours and then used Verizon's hotline to minimize any potential delays.
Okay, so Clegg has been convicted for these murders, at least in 2023. What does this mean? What does this really mean from the Supreme Court now? What happens next in this case?
Yeah, so I spoke with a UNH law professor, Maylin Fidler, and she told me there's still a decent chance that the final outcome for Logan Clegg remains unchanged. The Supreme Court hasn't tossed out any evidence. Instead, the justices directed the trial court to take another look and decide whether to allow the disputed evidence under what's known as the inevitable discovery doctrine. Basically, if police would have gotten the same evidence through other lawful means, the court could decide there's no reason to suppress it, which might mean there's no reason to order a new trial. If that's the case, then the conviction and the sentence, 100 years at least, could remain intact, which would leave Logan Clegg to spend the rest of his life in prison.
Okay, we'll be following your reporting on this and see what happens next. Thank you so much, Stephen.
Thank you.
You can find more of his reporting at bostonglobe.com/New Hampshire, by the way. And if you missed any part of today's segment, or if you want to catch up on previous weeks, you know, you can find the New Hampshire News Recap wherever you happen to listen to podcasts. Just look for New Hampshire News Recap. I'm Rick Gamley, and this is NHPR.